Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Jesus is with the disciples at the Last Supper. And it's quite apparent from all the things he's saying to them that the future for them is going to be very different from the past. They'd been with him for 3 years and more and had seen all the wonderful things that he did, the people that had been healed, the miracles he'd performed. They'd sat at his feet and listened to his teaching. But once he has returned to heaven and the promise that he gives them of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, everything is going to be somehow different, that the Jesus with them is going to become the Jesus in them. And so Jesus says a whole series of quite remarkable things. In John 14, verse 12, is a verse that I've lived with throughout my ministry. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, that is, faith in Jesus, will do what I have been doing. That's a promise given to anyone who has faith in Jesus. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. We wonder how we could do greater things. But then the next verse begins with the word and. So what follows is connected to what has gone before. How is it that we will be able to do the same things as Jesus and greater things? Because Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. The power will be in the name of Jesus. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, this means we've got to really understand what it means to ask in his name. Because I'm sure you probably prayed a lot of prayers where you've used the name of Jesus. You've said at the end of the prayer, in the name of Jesus, so that anybody listening knows it's time to say amen. But you haven't necessarily seen all those prayers answered, which means that they cannot truly have been prayers in the name of Jesus in the way that he intends us to understand. We've used his name, but haven't necessarily prayed in his name. If we go on to chapter 15, Jesus gives another wonderful promise. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit rather than anything we do in our own strength. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So here is another very broad promise. Anything that you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Anything. Now, if we just use the name of Jesus, clearly we don't always see the fulfillment of that. So praying in his name must be something much more than using his name. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at here this morning? Okay. If we go on to chapter 16, Jesus gives us a little further clarification. He's talking about the fact that he's going to leave them and then they will see him no more, but then they will see him and so on. In verse 23, he says, in that day, once the Holy Spirit has come upon you and he has returned to heaven, in that day, you will no longer ask me for anything. Have you asked Jesus for anything? Interesting, isn't it? So to pray in his name is not necessarily to ask Jesus for anything in the way that we commonly understand that. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So you won't ask me for anything, but whatever you ask the Father in my name, whatever, anything, he will give you. Then he makes this important statement. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. I wonder how many times the disciples, while they were with Jesus, had asked him for things and asked him to do things. But now he makes the statement, until now, all these years you've been with me, you've never asked anything in my name. You've asked me for stuff, but you've never asked in my name. I think they were probably a little perplexed as to what exactly he meant. So Jesus says, ask and you will receive, that your joy will be complete. So until then, although they knew Jesus, walked with Jesus, lived with Jesus, asked Jesus many things, they never asked for anything in his name. So clearly, what it means to ask in his name is different from just asking Jesus for things. Do I have your attention? Okay. Let's go on to the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus is talking about what will happen when the Spirit comes upon them. Now, we know, because we've all been reading Acts this month, we know that the Holy Spirit fell upon them on the day of Pentecost, and the room couldn't contain them. They were so filled with God and with praise and with joy. They spilled out into the streets of Jerusalem. A great crowd gathered, probably on the temple steps, because that's where a big crowd could meet. And Peter preached, and as he preached, he quoted from the prophecy of Joel, because he was explaining these things that you see happening now are the fulfillment of this prophecy. And the last part of this prophecy that he quotes, verse 21 of Acts 2, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be set free, will be released, will be healed. Yeah. Same word. Yeah. Everyone who calls on the name. Yeah. Not everyone who asks Jesus for something, but everyone who calls on the name. The power is in the name. The salvation is in the name. The healing is in the name. Yeah. So now we have to ask, What does it mean to call on the name of Jesus? When you pray, you might use this phrase, in the name of Jesus, but are you calling on his name? Is that what it means to call on his name? Apparently not. Because often when we pray prayers in the name of Jesus, we don't always see the healing, we don't always see the answers that Jesus is promising we will see if we call on his name. Are we all breathing still? Now, how is this going to be worked out in practice? Well, that sermon comes in Acts chapter 2. You've only got to go into the next chapter, chapter 3, and you see this miracle that Peter and John were used by God to perform, healing the cripple at the beautiful gate of the temple. And this created quite a stir because obviously people passing into the temple were very familiar with seeing this beggar there because he was there every day. So he must have been there even when Jesus passed into the temple and when the disciples had passed into the temple on previous occasions. But somehow, something was sparked in Peter on this particular day. And we know well his words, verse 6 of chapter 3, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Same things as Jesus did. Now, is he just using the name or calling on the name? The man gets healed. Everybody that witnesses what is happening wants to exalt Peter and John. And he says in verse 12, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? If we call on the name, we shouldn't be surprised at what happens. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Now, I want you to note this. I want you to store that in your mind, just in your memory, just for a few moments, because we're going to come back to it. Why do you think God has done this because it's anything to do with us? In other words, he's saying it's got nothing to do with our goodness. It's got nothing to do with our sanctification. It's got nothing to do with our godliness. So what has it got to do with? Well, he says in verse 16, by faith in the name, not just using the name, calling on the name, having faith in the name. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. The authority is in the name. The power is in the name. Calling on the name. Clearly, just using this phrase in the name of Jesus so everybody knows it's time to say amen is not what the scripture is talking about. something very different from that. So, we've got to understand what God is saying to us through these scriptures. If we go on to Colossians, which was written now some years later, 30-odd years after the church had begun, Paul comes to this conclusion, chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, you see, he does not say, whatever you say or do, do in Jesus. Now, he's teaching people all the time that they live in him and he lives in them. Just as Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. But Paul doesn't say, whatever you do, do because you're in Jesus and Jesus is in you. No, he says, whatever you say or do, do it in the name. In the name of Jesus. Why? Because the power, the victory, the salvation, the healing, the answer to whatever we're praying is in the name. And there you have the name right before you. Jesus. So whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Why? Because if you do it in his name, it's going to be successful. Whatever you say or do in his name is going to work. Why? Because his name is higher than any other name. His name is the name of the Savior, the name of the Lord, the name of the King of Kings, the name of the Lord of Lords, the name of the bread of life, the name of the one who is the resurrection and the life. It's the name of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It is the name of the Almighty One. It is the name of the risen, ascended, glorified Christ. Everything is in that name. Now we can be thankful for what we see God doing already in our lives personally, in the life of the church here. We can thank God for the healings that do happen, that we have testimonies of. We can thank God for all the answers to prayer that we have received. But while we're thankful for what God is doing now, every one of us knows that is nothing compared to what he is able to do. And how God is wanting to take us from glory to glory, he wants us to move on in his purposes so we see still more of what he's doing. So we need to understand what it means to call on his name, to pray in his name. Let's just take healing as an example, because that's something that when we pray for, it's going to have a very definite outworking. We can see whether the prayer has been effective or not because of what happens. So we can see whether we have prayed with faith in that name, because if we pray with faith in that name, then the healing must happen. According to my Bible, it must happen. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar, in which case there's no salvation for anyone. We may as well pack up and all go to hell. But Jesus is the truth. So we want to understand what it means to call on his name and pray in his name. Let us just take a sort of typical scenario. Somebody is sick and there's an invitation for prayer, for healing, and somebody comes forward. Now, typically, what is happening here? Probably the one who is doing the praying will certainly be using the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing, or whatever, whatever, whatever. Is the person coming forward praying in the name of Jesus? What are they doing as they stand there? Are they conscious of their symptoms? Are they thinking about the need? Are they praying, perhaps even in desperation, God, do something about this, it's time. I've asked so many times. And I think Jesus would say, why have you needed to ask so many times when I've said I would do anything that you ask in my name? It's very quiet in here this morning. So what is going on? There could be, you know, is this holy hit and hope time? Where God is going to hit me with something? I hope so. Many people go back to their place disappointed. They haven't felt anything. They haven't experienced anything. Why? Because they haven't been calling on his name. They haven't been praying in his name at all. And so what do they do if they pray for a need to be met in their lives? I mean, of course, this wouldn't be true of you. I'm just talking generally. But what would people do if they pray about something and it doesn't happen? Instinctively, they would begin to look at themselves. Is there something? Is there some barrier? Is there some obstacle? Is there something in my life? Is there some? Is there some sin? Is there something that I've got to do? Is there some? In other words, they're not praying in the name of Jesus. Why? Well, what did Paul say? Look, it's not by our own godliness. It's got nothing to do with us. The answer, the power, the authority is in the name of Jesus. It's got nothing to do with you. So as soon as you begin to look at yourself, you've lost the plot. Perhaps never even truly prayed in the name of Jesus. Okay, so how do you call on the name of Jesus? Jesus! That's calling on the name of Jesus. Jesus! 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 Calling on his name. The power is in his name. Jesus! So if I'm coming forward for prayer, what am I doing? I'm not standing there. Is something going to happen? I'm saying, Jesus! 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 Whatever you pray in my name, I will do. Why? The power, the authority, the healing, the salvation is in his name. Would it possibly be true that when we're praying for something, we're more concerned to get the words right, to make sure that we're praying the proper prayer of faith? We're concentrating on the prayer rather than the name of Jesus. And having said our prayer, we then tack the name of Jesus onto the end of it. as if that's the prayer that Jesus prayed. But no, it's the prayer you prayed and then tacked his name on the end. Is this making sense to you? Are you understanding? The power is in the name of Jesus. So far, Jesus says to the disciples, you haven't asked for anything in my name. You haven't had to call upon my name because I've been with you. But now, I'm going to return to heaven and you will have to call upon my name. So far, you haven't done that at all. But now, every time you call upon my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Wow. And in his name, you would do the same things as he's done, and even greater things still. In fact, whatever you do in his name, in word or deed, will work, and you can give thanks to God the Father because of what he's done. Last weekend, I was in Italy. And I preached about the authority of his name. It was a very different message from this morning because God always, by the Holy Spirit, speaks in a unique way in every situation. But intrinsically, the message about the power and authority of his name was the same. So when it came to the ministry time, we didn't have people forward for prayer, but everybody called on the name of Jesus. I would have to say that at first it was purely superficial. Jesus, 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 as if the name is a bit of magic. So we sort of stopped that and said, now listen, we're going to call on the name from the heart, because Jesus says it's the prayer of the heart that gets answered. So from our hearts, we're going to call on his name. So then the place got noisy. And everybody just called on the name of Jesus. I said, don't pray any words of your own, because actually the power is not in the words you pray. The power is in the faith with which you use the name Jesus. It's interesting, you see, that what Peter said was, it's the name of Jesus and the faith that comes through him. The faith comes from calling on the name of Jesus. I think so often, you know, perhaps we're not in that place of faith where we believe that whatever we ask, God is definitely going to answer there and then. But as we call upon the name, so faith rises within us. Because faith comes from calling on his name. And if we pray with doubt and unbelief, it's no use, or question marks as to what's going to happen. It's no use tacking in the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus is not a question mark. There's no doubt as to what is going to happen if the name of Jesus is going to work in a situation. Because that name is the name of the all-victorious one. Are you breathing? So then everybody began to cry out in the name of Jesus, and it was powerful. It was as if the power of God fell upon the meeting. And I said, right now you're going to pray for one another, but you're not going to pray those prayers that you normally pray and just tap in the name of Jesus onto the end of it. Just lay hands on the one next to you and just call on the name of Jesus, just Jesus, Jesus. Well, I don't know how many people got healed, but an awful lot of people put their hands up afterwards. Hundreds. We touch something in the Spirit. A fresh understanding of the name of Jesus. I'm not saying that that's the only word we use when we pray, because Jesus says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. But then he goes on to say, everyone who asks receives. If they truly ask in the name of Jesus, in what it means to call upon the name, everyone who asks receives. Everyone. Everyone, said Jesus. Everyone. How many times have we asked using the name, but we haven't received? But Jesus says, everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Why? Because we ask in the power of the name. So, if we were to have an invitation for people to come forward, the effectiveness of what would take place would depend, I believe, on whether we were really calling on the name, trusting in the name, believing in the name, rather than just praying our usual sort of prayer, and there's the catchphrase, in the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus, I don't think for a moment, as he reigns in heaven, is interested in our nice prayers. You know, you can be very nice and pray very nicely and very ineffectively at the same time. What God always wants to hear is the cry of the heart. And when you see our faith is in the name, Jesus, and he hears that cry, Jesus, coming from the heart, what will happen then? And Jesus teaches us also to persevere in prayer, to persevere calling on the name of Jesus. Oh, but in church, we're all nice. Somebody lead the prayer and we will say, amen. Well, perhaps we better throw all the nice prayers out and just start praying from our hearts. Jesus! And when we pray for one another, instead of imagining that it's our prayer that's going to be effective, we simply believe, Jesus! It's the name of Jesus that will be effective. The power is in the name. And of course, the name denotes all of who Jesus is. Everything. You look in the back of the study version of the truth, and there's a section there in the study section at the back on the names of Jesus. There's over 50 of them. I can't remember exactly how many, but there's over 50 of the names of Jesus in the New Testament. And every time we use the name, we're referring to all that he is. And when you look at that long list, there's no time for us to go through them all now, but read through them and just see everything is there. No matter what your need, no matter what the situation. But how often, you see, when we pray, are we concerned about the situation and our focus is on the situation instead of on Jesus? We're focusing on the need instead of the answer to the need.
We're looking at ourselves and our feelings and our thoughts and our experiences instead of keeping the focus on Jesus. For some weeks, God has been giving me a fresh revelation of this, and I've just been letting it percolate through my life. Before our last weekend was the first time I sort of ministered publicly about it. But I believe God is opening up something very, very powerful for us here. But as part of this revelation, God took me really by surprise. I always like to be surprised by the Lord, because there are always good surprises. You know, one of the ways in which he is described in the New Testament is as the yes and the amen. That he is the yes and the amen to all the promises of God. All those promises we've just read about prayer, Jesus is the amen. And what the Lord said to me, every time you call upon my name, Jesus, Jesus, in heaven, I'm saying, amen, it shall be so. He is the amen. Whatever promise you're claiming, Jesus, Jesus, he says, amen, it shall be so. Why? Because you're trusting in my name. You're praying in my name. You're calling on my name. You believe that in my name is the answer, in my name is the authority, in my name is the power, in my name is the salvation, in my name is the healing, in my name is the deliverance. Oof. We are going to see some powerful things in the coming months. And the wonderful thing about it is this, my friends. You know, when people first come to the Lord, they think they don't know how to pray. They're not used to praying. And we can say, oh, prayer is so simple. It's just one word, Jesus. Just start calling on the name of Jesus and see what happens. And once you start calling on the name of Jesus, whatever other words you need, the Holy Spirit will give you. Because, you see, the Scripture says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, have you ever wondered what does that mean? It doesn't mean just speaking in tongues, does it? But if you're praying at all times in the Spirit, excuse me, what? Does Jesus say about the Spirit? The Spirit will point you all the time to me, to Jesus. He will remind you of all that I've said. He will remind you of all that I've done. The Holy Spirit will bear witness to Jesus. So if we pray in the Spirit, we pray truly in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, nothing is impossible for you, Jesus. And he says, amen, it shall be so. Now, you understand all these things I say about praying in my name. I think it's remarkable that God has answered as many prayers as he has. Because when you receive, when you hear really what the Scripture is saying about the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, you realize, wow, there's so much more. I mean, it's as if God is opening up for us a whole new dimension of the Spirit, a new dimension of prayer, a new dimension of the miraculous. Yeah.
I think back sometimes to the earliest days when I was experiencing revival as a young pastor, and how everything was so simple. I mean, we didn't know much, which helped. Because the trouble is, you know, when you've learned a little bit, you tend to depend upon what you know instead of just depend upon Jesus. But I think back to the simple way in which we prayed, because, you know, I wouldn't have known all this that I'm telling you this morning, but we did, actually. We just trusted Jesus. We just believed Jesus. And, you know, we saw one miracle after another. Every week there were a list of miracles. 18 healing groups, different healing groups meeting every week in the one congregation. So simple, so simple. Just using the Word of God in prayer, believing the power is in His Word. So, beloved, we're going to pray together. Now, you've got the option of being nice, praying nicely, Jesus, 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 because you're in public, which means you're more conscious of the other people around you than you are of Jesus. Hello? Or you can forget that there are all these other people around you and you can get real with Jesus. Say, Lord, my heart longing is for you, Jesus! I don't say it has to be loud. I mean, I'm loud. But I pray like this when I'm at home. But my wife is probably in bed sleeping, so I don't go, Jesus! I go, Jesus! 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 It's just as heartfelt, just as strong, but it's not quite so loud. But it's not, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the great thing, you see, about this is it's easy to pray as you go, as well as in your own time of prayer. It's always important to have your own time of prayer, isn't it? But, you know, to do what Jesus says, go into your room quietly, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and he who sees what you pray in secret will reward you openly. So it's very important to do that. But we often need to pray on the go, don't we? You know, in the car, in the train, in the bus, you know, talking to that aggressive person or whatever it is. And you see, all you have to do is say, Jesus. Jesus. And every time you call on the name of Jesus, he comes into the situation. You see, that's the point. This is exactly what Jesus meant. You can pray all kinds of nice prayers, but when you call upon my name, I come into the situation. So when the unsaved call upon his name, they receive salvation. When the sick call upon his name, the healer comes into the situation. When those who are bound call upon that name, the deliverer comes into their situation. When those who are in need call upon that name, the provider comes into their situation. Because he's all those things. Hallelujah. So are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, 4.5 of you are, but we don't want any spectators. Now, some of you have got to overcome your stubborn pride. I've been around in ministry long enough to know that there are always some people in any congregation who say, I'm not going to do what he says. Why should I do what he says? That's pride, it's stubbornness,
I've been speaking under the anointing of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is teaching us. He's leading us. He's showing us what to do. So we better do it. And not say, well, it's not my style. It's your style that's restricting you. If it's not your style, it's your style that's restricting you. So get rid of that style and adopt a new style where you call upon the name of Jesus. Shall we all stand? Praise God. Off you go then. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 Okay. Okay. Now we're getting the idea. Now let's get some intention in our prayer. What I want you to do is to just lay before God some situation about which you're praying, about which you're concerned. Maybe a personal need, maybe some other situation that touches your life in some way or that you're concerned about. Not a load of words. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. See, this is really coming to him, isn't it? Coming to him and I will give you rest. So we just lay it before him, then just call upon the name of Jesus. And as we call upon that name of Jesus, we believe Jesus is entering now into that situation. What we're doing is we're entrusting that situation into his care. And because we call upon his name, now listen to me, because this is another thing God's taught me about this. As soon as we call upon the name of Jesus, it then becomes his responsibility to resolve that situation, not ours. It's then his responsibility to fulfill the promise that he's given. Amen. You see, there again, we so often think it depends somehow upon me, upon how I pray, what I do, when am I believing, aren't I believing, am I doing this, am I doing that, instead of just saying, no, I've entrusted it. Now it's Jesus. The whole matter is now his responsibility. Because we've entrusted it to him. If we don't believe that, we haven't truly entrusted that situation into his hands. Can we see that? You know, what does the scripture say? Cast all your burdens on the Lord. You see, if you're being burdened by something, you lay it before the Lord, you cast it upon him, then it's his responsibility to deal with it. You can't cast the burden upon the Lord and then keep carrying the burden yourself. It's either his or it's yours. It's either in his hands or it's still in your hands. So if we bring the need and lay it before him and place it in his hands, then he now has the responsibility to fulfill his promise. And who knows, he's faithful and always fulfills his promises. He is the yes and the amen to all those promises. So let's just be still for a moment. Just decide what situation it is. I mean, you can do this any number of situations, but we'll do just with one now because time is limited. Just one situation. You're going to entrust to the Lord. So you're not going to worry about it anymore. It's going to cease to be your concern because it becomes his concern. You can't entrust something to the Lord and still be worried about it. Say, no, it's all right. It's in God's hands now. It's in Jesus' hands. I've called upon his name.
And he accepts the responsibility for this situation. Okay, now you've entrusted. It doesn't take long to entrust something to him. You just hand it over. Now you've handed it over. Now start calling on his name. And believe. Believe that he is taking hold of that situation. Oh, you're very quiet. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, beloved, once you start to pray like this, you call on the name of Jesus. You reach a point where somehow you have this witness in your spirit. That's all right. Now he's taken hold of that situation. And so you begin then to do what Jesus said. You pray with thanksgiving. So you then, that Jesus becomes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Instead of the Jesus, Jesus, it becomes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, when you're praying like this on your own, wait until you have that witness of the Spirit, where the Spirit just brings you to that point and you say, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Shall we just pray once more? You can pray about the same situation and pray about another situation. But if God brings you to that point of release now, then just begin to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. A couple of days, my wife said to me, what were you doing banging upstairs? And I says, I wasn't banging upstairs. I was just jumping with joy. I was just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because I knew he'd undertaken. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you for that all holy, that all conquering, that all victorious name. And Lord, we thank you for the revelation that your Spirit brings to us this morning of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, of the power and authority that is in that name. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to transform our prayer life.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
But Lord, we're going to see miracles happening here every week. Every week. Because we won't have to have it all explained to us again.
But every week and all through this week, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
This week we're going to be doing the same things as Jesus.
Yes.
Because we're going to be not just using his name, but calling on his name, bringing his name into situations, seeing him undertake for those situations.
Yeah.
And we want to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just turn to all those around you and say to them, I can pray effectively now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.